Ganja, Joint, Doobie, Doo, Chronic, Ace, Lobo, Loco, Loveboat, Bud, Buddha, Blunt, Pot, Pet, Pin, Chiba, Chiba, 420, and Hashish, or Hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Yes, welcome on into another edition of Marijuana Media. It's Thursday. It's 420-ish. But Chris Fowley is, I think he's in Tahiti. Is that, that's great.
Lucky.
And by the looks of it, they've got really nice weed over there as well. So that's a good thing. But he's given us a well-worthy replacement in Rick Rice, documentary filmmaker, amongst other things. I guess, why don't you give us your rundown, Rick, of your angle? Oh, shit. It's quiet. What's going on here? Is it just my headphones?
Go for it.
Kia ora, can you hear me now?
Yes!
Well, I started with more conservative subjects. I went to Ethiopia to make a film about genetically modified crops there. And I did another documentary about sharks and one about arson dogs. And then I came to New Zealand.
Is that the South African I'm kind of hearing?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Arson dog unit in Cape Town. And then I came to New Zealand and I found myself in the middle of a riot in Dunedin in 2009 with bottles being thrown over my head as I filmed the riot police crack down on this assembly of students that was tearing up Dunedin, literally setting the town on fire, setting cars on fire, uprooting trees and burning them in the streets, smashing everything in sight, smashing a few policemen on the way. And across town there was a group of stoners celebrating the sixth year of their Otago normal protests, very peacefully engaging with the police, who had to leave to go across town to join this melee of drunken, riotous students. And the juxtaposition of these two events that happened on the same night in the same town, just a few blocks away from each other, was the starting point for Drug Lord Series 1, which was released in 2015. So you can see all that scene of that riotous assembly described.
I need to watch you call it a documentary, right?
It is a documentary film. It's a nine-part series, but if you watch it all at once, it'll just be like watching a feature film. I recommend breaking it up, though.
Right on. Okay, sweet.
What does it cover? What's the general theme?
The theme is how New Zealand Green got rolled up in the US drug war, and I'm examining the number of times throughout the last 100 years where the US influenced New Zealand's drug policies.
We've been following the leader way too much. I seem to remember a more radical New Zealand before I was even alive, when we would just kind of like figure our own stuff out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we definitely... We are sort of dragging, what do you call it? We are like sheep now, in a sense, for a lot of scenarios. And I guess what you're saying, marijuana is one of them.
Marijuana is a critical one, because in New Zealand you have the world's highest arrest rate per capita, and number two is the US. And in terms of the amount spent...
And look at their prisons.
Exactly. We have the same problems here. It's just a miniaturized version.
Yeah.
In fact, the New Zealand government is spending... twice as much as the US government is
in, like,
in
a power
terms
to weight
of their,
ratio kind
of in terms of the spend on marijuana prohibition. So New Zealand is spending $200 million each year for the police and courts, $64 million to lock up cannabis-only offenders, non-violent cannabis so-called offenders.
Yeah.
That's $264 million before you even factor in the cost of the Army and the Air Force, who are involved in eradication programs. It's $700 per...
Trying to find the...
Exactly. Yeah. $700 per hour just for the fuel to keep a helicopter in the air and all the other attendant costs. And then
that's a lot. That's
crazy. I heard that it costs $100,000 to keep someone on the inside per annum.
How do you mean?
You know, like to keep someone in prison.
$90,000, correct. It's around $90,000.
Wow.
They're not even talking about the costs of welfare, of counseling that from people who've been released from prison now and now are traumatized, they've got post-traumatic stress, they didn't belong in prison in the first place.
Or the cost on the indigenous people, who are actually the focus most of the time.
Exactly. We talk about that in Drug Lord 1. And then I've just released a part of Drug Lord 2, which was shot in Australia, where we talk about exactly the same problem as it relates to the Aboriginal population,
right,
where they have exactly the same statistics. It's funny, in the US and in Australia and in New Zealand, they have exactly the same proportion of Aboriginal or Maori or black people to white people in the US, and exactly the same proportions, disproportionately represented minorities in the prison population, up to 50%. So it's funny how the US-led war on drugs has actually created all of these identical microcosmic replications throughout the world. In fact, there's 184 countries.
The template works.
Well,
before everybody
destroys everybody equally. Yeah.
As you've carried out your work, you know, making this documentary, have there been any surprises along the way? Is there anything that's come to light that you just wouldn't have thought it would have been that way or been present?
Well, I have been amazed at the miraculous results that medicinal cannabis has produced in people in front of my eyes.
Well, nobody's testing it, so everyone's kind of figuring out for themselves, aren't they?
Well, no, they are testing it. I went to Israel to see this, we went into the old age homes, and you see how the nurses are freely distributing herbal cannabis to be smoked or to be vaporized or taken in pill form or even put into the yogurt. I've seen that as well.
So all the options are there.
All the options are there, suppositories for all these old people who some of them have had Alzheimer's for multiple years and have forgotten their identities. They give them cannabis, they smoke some weed, and they remember who they are, and they get up and they leave, and they say, I'm going home. I'm perfectly fine now.
Wow.
Their entire personality is reestablished through the use of cannabis. Before that, they were just complete wrecks. So they were totally dysfunctional.
Almost like a massive perspective shift for them, I can't really fathom what they just wake up to a certain scenario, I guess.
Cannabis has got unique properties in that it is neuroregenerative.
Right.
So as opposed to all of the propaganda that we've been told about brain damage from cannabis, the reality is that cannabis actually is a neuroprotectant and a neuroregenerative. So all of these people with degenerative brain diseases such as Alzheimer's, actually these brain pathways repair when they're allowed to use cannabis medicinally. So you've seen these nurses who were once highly opposed to cannabis because they'd been exposed to all of this propaganda and they'd never learned any of the medicinal properties of cannabis in medical school, now seeing for themselves what miraculous results it produces in these people who were just written off. They were believed to be completely lost, you know?
Yeah. I mean, especially seeing as you can, once you get a handle on what it can do, you can then start focusing on growing the right one for the right task, right? Because there's so many different strands. It's a beautiful plant like that. It's crazy. Yeah.
Absolutely. There are about 110 known cannabinoids.
Far out.
And they're studying each one of these in depth in Israel, and Israel is now one of the world's leading exporters of medicinal cannabis.
They're pushing
products.
The boat out, literally. Israel's pushing the boat out.
So it's come from the government has just decided that this is a great export opportunity for Israel?
Oh, yes. The amount of cannabis that's traded internationally increased in the last few years from 2.3 tons to 57 tons. Don't quote me on those exact numbers, but I think those are more or less the exact numbers.
I feel like when you're working in tons, you got to be close.
Yeah. So you've seen an over 200-fold increase in the amount of medicinal cannabis that's being traded internationally.
Wow.
That's just in half a decade. So the potential, the sky is the limit.
Yeah, especially with countries becoming legal more and more often, you just see it like boom there, boom here, boom here, you know.
Absolutely. So what's happened is, and the reason why the pharmaceutical opposes medicinal cannabis in so many jurisdictions, is that pharmaceutical profits have dropped off a cliff.
Yeah, right.
Because cannabis can replace a whole shelf of pharmaceutical products.
Totally. Yeah.
There's 700 diseases that have been proven to respond well to cannabis, either as palliative treatments or as cures. 700. There's no other plant medicine or medicine. and then you get disbelievers saying, well, that's impossible that one botanical substance can have this many pharmacological effects. And then you have Professor Raphael Meshulam, the discoverer of the cannabinoid biochemistry.
Mm. Saying, he's in your first documentary, right?
He's in the first part of the second documentary. Oh, right, yeah, I went to the lab where he made these historic discoveries in 1964, and I interviewed everyone on his team. They're still working there. He's 84 years old.
Wait, when did you go to the lab, though? Not 1964. How long have you been working on the second documentary?
I went to the lab in 2015.
Cool.
And so I met Professor Meshulam, and I said to him, well, how is it possible that cannabis can work on so many diseases? It seems to work on almost every single disease. And he said, yes, it works on every single disease that's been investigated. Every single disease, from the common cold to cancer, can be influenced by your cannabinoid receptor sites, which means cannabis is one of the most effective medicines to treat all of these diseases. And you can produce it yourself, which is exactly why it's not legal.
That's the
because
part,
you will... Not only the pharmaceutical companies are going to stand to lose billions of dollars of revenue, the tobacco companies, the alcohol companies, the cotton industry, the wood pulp paper industry, the petrochemical industry, all of that, the concrete industry, all of these things can be replaced by cannabis. So that is why it's the world's most hated plant, because it's the world's most useful plant. In fact, even in the word cannabis sativa, you get a clue, because sativa is Latin for useful.
Oh, far out. Okay. So what's the... How do we pitch? How do we get whoever's doing the PR for dolphins to work for marijuana, if you know what I mean? Everyone loves dolphins. How do we change the across the board?
They've got a crack.
Does everyone just need to get there? Like, obviously, Big Pharma needs to just get like some money in on it somehow, or like is that going to happen, right?
Well, I'd like people to know that they can support me in doing this exact thing by going to my Patreon page, www.patreon.com/druglawed, and you can become a sponsor of my film and you'll get all kinds of rewards. Just check out the page. In fact, we'll even make individuated content for you.
Have you got like a preview on
trailer.
YouTube or anything like that?
Yeah, in fact. Well, we've put a whole episode up, so you'll know exactly what kind of quality programming you're going to be supporting. We put an episode up that we shot in New Zealand. We shot in 9 different countries. Each episode is in a different country, featuring amazing stars like the president of Uruguay.
Wow. It's legal there, right?
It's world's first federally regulated cannabis market.
Wow. So, and how deep are they now? How long have they been?
Well, actually, the final implementation of the plan only took place a few weeks ago,
right?
Which was that a select number of pharmacies would now be selling to the public without any need for a weed pass, as they call it, or a doctor's certificate. Any Uruguayan citizen can walk into one of these pharmacies and buy their cannabis.
Sounds like human rights to me.
For $2 a gram.
Sweet. Wow. Okay. So, and are they growing it all there, do you reckon?
The government has contracted 2 companies to grow all the cannabis. The profits are then recycled back into the economy through taxes, and then those funds are used for drug rehabilitation, treatment, education, and lo and behold, cannabis use amongst kids is declining there, just as it declined in Colorado, where everybody was up in arms.
You can have your taste and have a muck around, and then you can get on with your life if that's not what you want to do, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's lost its forbidden fruit appeal.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is exactly what happened in the 1970s when
Holland,
they legalized
it
in Holland. Yeah, exactly the same thing. They have the lowest teenage rates of use.
Holland's chill, man. In Europe. By the way, you just cruise around and it's not like everyone's smoking weed in your face or anything. It's a mellow scenario.
Exactly. So.
Nobody's turning into like ghouls and crap and trying to eat your brains and stuff. It's pretty okay.
In fact, it's probably more peaceful than the rest of Europe on the whole. I think they have lower overall crime rates. They certainly have one of the lowest rates of drug use in the European Union. So all of these doomsayers who keep on harping on, everybody's going to be...
They're invested, aren't they?
Well, they're invested in drug testing. Yeah,
you are brought up, dope is for dopes and all that. Like it does have a massive tagline on it. I definitely felt that stigma growing up. You know, like it is around you, and everybody does sort of have that strong belief in them. So I guess that stuff doesn't change minds overnight. Certain people have to die, basically, and then you move on, don't you? Like, the older generation get out of the way, and then the new way of thinking comes about. Is that?
That should be the case, but unfortunately the older generation can actually buy off the younger generation.
Right, yeah.
If I can point to a very interesting international trial that's going on in South Africa, which is where I'm from, and 2 of my friends are now in the Pretoria High Court challenging the constitutionality of what they call Dacha prohibition. dacha means cannabis in right.
Dacha.
Yeah. And
that Dutch South African vibe.
The Gauteng government is paying young people to protest against this.
Rent a crowd.
They're renting a crowd. They're buying them lunch. They're bussing them in, and then denying that they're using public funds to actually create this resistance to
it's so evil, hey?
It's beyond evil. You know, they're creating this appearance that there is an opposition to what the Dacha couple are undertaking. Yeah. Interestingly enough, two of the stars of my second cannabis documentary have been flown in. It was crowdfunded to fly in Professor David Nutt and Dr. Ethan Nadelman to appear as expert witnesses on their behalf. So they've stood up and said, you know, these are the scientific realities around cannabis prohibition and all of the reasons why it's actually counterproductive, incredibly wasteful and harmful. And there needs to be a massive sea change in the policies. Meanwhile, the government is slush funding this faux protest of people being bussed in from the townships to pretend to be anti-cannabis, but they're just there for the free lunch.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It is crazy, man. Hey, that's a whole lot of knowledge right there.
What we'll do is we'll post a link to your documentary on our Facebook page. So if people want to check it out or contribute.
Check out the first one or contribute to the second.
Well, yeah, well, I would prefer people contribute on Patreon because for about the same amount of money, you'll get all the series moving forward and all the ones that we've already released. So you'll get the full complement for $1 a month. And that way I kind of...
A dollar a month,
that's okay. Right. So there's 15 episodes that are existing right now. So if a dollar a month is, you know, you'll get a lot for your dollar a month. Plus, that way, moving forward, I know I have a kind of a income and I can continue making these episodes. And I want to go to Central America next. We're going to do Trinidad, Tobago, Jamaica, Belize, episodes in all of these countries.
Cool.
Jamaica has decriminalized. Another country that's joined the list of decriminalization. Israel decriminalized.
That country, Jamaica's like waving the flag. People go there as a pilgrimage to smoke weed anyway, right?
They do. They always have.
Yeah. And I feel like if it's a religion in a place, that's like a higher respect. That should have been legal a long time ago.
Of course.
All right, hey, thank you so much, Rick Rice. You'll be back next week because Chris will still be catching a tan on that fine white body of his. Thanks so much for coming in, man. Very much appreciated.
Sure, thank you. Go to druglord.com for more information about the films and go to patreon.com/druglord to give us $1 a month and we'll give you all of our content. Thank you.
We just got a phone call real quick. We might as well take it.
Okay.
Hello, BFM.
Hey, just to give you a bit of feedback about the issue with this, there's many boys up north can't get jobs because they have drug tests and they'll have residue of THC in their blood.
Right.
So, stopping employment.
Yes, that's true.
So, can you ask them, what is the big deal if you've got residue amounts in your system? Is it...
I know that marijuana takes a long time to get out of the system. That's kind of one of the problems. Isn't that right, Rick?
That's true, and that's why people use harder, more dangerous drugs because they're harder to detect.
Yeah.
And the reason why we retain marijuana in our systems for so long is because it's beneficial for our bodies.
You just about convinced me that I should get onto it.
Of course you should. Especially if you've got if you're getting older. That's what they're doing in Israel. They're giving it to the old folk, and they're finding that it helps with their degenerative bone disease. It helps helps them mentally. It helps them their energy levels. It helps their
it's a naturally occurring plant.
It is.
Why
that's
are we
right.
still hung up about it?
Agreed, mate. Agreed.
Yeah, and we should be growing more hemp for the clothing industry as well.
Hemp will fix the rivers as well.
Absolutely.
That's another. Maybe next week we can touch on that and figure out.
You need to put your theme song. I'm on the drugs. I'm on the drugs at Kilbriff.
I'm fading you out, mate. All right. Thanks, Rick.